Blog Talk Radio.
Give me eyes to see. Show me who I'm supposed to be.
without you I am incomplete. And I find you, I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart, seek you with my whole heart. And I find you, oh I find you, when I seek you with my whole heart.
Prophetic Grace Network. Thank God again for being here tonight. Yet another opportunity to witness His power, His love, His presence. Everything that God has to offer, I've made myself available to receive it. You know, definitely made that a train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
To always be expecting, always be in the place of expectation and wanting what God has for you authentically and seeing it the way God wants it to be seen. Because so often so many of us diligent teachers and leaders and preachers and evangelists, and we try to put box God in. We try to put God in the box. This is the only way that God will do certain things, because this is the way he did it for me. And that's not necessarily true, because the key to it is having the relationship. Then we get out the way, because God would do whatever he so chooses to do in somebody's life, whatever he so wants to be done.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no cap on that. God does what he wants to do, how he wants it to be done. And by me getting that revelation has really allowed me the opportunity to really be more compassionate when dealing with other people. Because how God deals with people is how God deals with people. How God deals with us is how God deals with us. And however he chooses, that's fine with me. And so I pray that we as believers, as true believers, will begin to see that and understand that when you feel the way you feel about something or see things the way you see it about something, God gave you revelation about things, because that's the way you need to see it. It's a certain way you might need to do a particular thing. And that's for you. And so, and that's good. But the key to the change that we so desire as believers in everybody's life, the key to it is just that they meet Jesus. And not only meet him, but accept him
mm-hmm.
as their Lord and Savior. That's it. You know, we get out the way. You know, we're sharpened, iron sharpens iron, because we continue to share the truth of the gospel. But a lot of times we kind of overstep our bounds by trying to dictate how God is going to move in another person's life,
mm-hmm.
strictly based on how he moved in yours. Now, there are things that God requires, but most importantly, he requires us to be honest. He requires us to worship him in spirit and in truth, you know. We may not get it all right,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we can be honest,
yeah.
you know. And so us as human beings, we tend to always look at somebody's faults. We trying to find where you going wrong just so we can point it out. Hey. You know, human beings are going to error, okay? Human beings are going to do things that we don't agree with. You know what I mean? And so before we begin to put our mouths on things, we need to first check ourselves. We need to first go to God and ask God, Lord, how should I feel about this? How should I look at this particular thing? What should I do? What should I be focusing on? But we don't do that. We take that first train of thought and we run with it. Boom. That's it. You know? And we go from there. So my prayer tonight is that we begin to really allow God to be God in everybody's life, and really pray that people will come to Christ and receive him as their Lord and Savior. That's what I desire most. That's what I desire most, because so often we tend to focus on each other's shortcomings, to where we really miss a lot. We really miss a lot. And so, that being said, welcome again to another show tonight. I'm one half of your host, Terrence.
And I'm the other half of your host, Tanisha. And today is January 19th, 2022. Mm-hmm. Still getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7:14 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are here to serve the Lord and in turn serve you and hear what the Lord has to say tonight. And what a great word. And it's so on time too, because I was telling Terrence how You know, for those who follow mainstream Christian media, there's a pastor of a very large church that had a message on Sunday and had a, what do you call it? He acted out something that was
a demonstration
that was highly frowned upon. And it caused a lot of hubbub in the media and on social media included. And there was a lot of people who were saying some very unkind, ungodly things who were identifying as being believers. And it really made me sad. And God told me to speak out, you know, and to challenge some of the things that were being said about this particular pastor. And so I did. And I found myself where people, you know, I never got so many notifications in my life because people were adding me and people were angry and saying, you know, oh, Christians are easily fooled and, oh, so you disagree with that and all that. And it didn't even make me feel no type of way except for sad for believers to act the way that they were acting. You know, it was like instead of being standing out as the body of Christ, they were acting just like the world and trying to tear this pastor down. And it was a great opportunity for me to teach people about grace. I noticed that once I started bringing up grace and even giving examples of what was in the Bible, like David, if David was in today's day with social media, people would have tried to, quote, cancel him as being a king. But the beauty of God is that humans can't cancel who God promotes. But when a person who God has promoted makes a mistake, the outcome and the reaction of the person is not a reflection of the person who made a mistake. It's a reflection of the person who's reacting. Mm-hmm. And it's showing what they've got inside of them and what they don't have inside of them. And so every person who was very negative about it, I just prayed for them and told them, you know, I'm just going to pray for you and taught them that, you know, we all need grace. We all make mistakes. You know, just because you're in a position of leadership, while you do have, of course, more eyes on you and there is a greater accountability, it doesn't absolve you from making mistakes. He apologized afterwards, and that wasn't good enough. That's all you can do. Once you make a mistake, and sometimes it could be undone, like if you mistakenly take $800 out of somebody's bank account that it was yours, you can apologize and give back the $800. But sometimes when an action is done, you can't undo it. He couldn't undemonstrate. He had already done it. And I think he did it for, you know, his intentions were good. I don't see how in his brain he thought that it was going to be received well, but he's young, you know, and it happened. And he couldn't undo what he had done. And so in cases like that, all you can do is offer an apology that wasn't good enough. And people were actually, like I said, people who identified as believers were claiming that they weren't going to give him their prayers and they weren't going to give him grace. And one thing I will say about this year in particular, this year of 2022, is that this is a very fertile year. And this is also a year that we need to be mindful of our words, because I believe that we're going to see a manifestation of the things that we say, and we're going to see a manifestation of our seeds very quickly in this year. And so with the ones that were identifying as believers, I told them, even if you don't agree with what he did, which I don't either, it doesn't, you know, God shows us grace every single day. So why not give them grace because it's a good seed to sow? And some of them still were like, nope, not going to do it. And those same people might find themselves in a position where the person that they need grace from has the same hard heart as them. And it just makes me so sad to see how many people who are identified believers have taken on this type of attitude. Now, we all know that some of them probably were not believers. Some people think just because they know who Jesus is that they're believers. No, you just know who Jesus is. You know, it doesn't make you, I knew who Jesus was when I was an unbeliever. I didn't know the depths of it, like the Trinity and all that, and that he came and died for our sins, but I knew the name of Jesus. You know, that didn't make me a believer. I had not given my heart or anything to him. And there's some that might be carnal or just very young and young believers, babes in Christ, or whatever reason, but I thought it was a great example of what's going on in the hearts of the body of Christ and a great teaching opportunity that we've got to do better as a body of Christ. Like Terrence just said, we've got to be asking God, how do we handle things? What does he think about it? People are like, oh, he's just trying to be sensational. But how do you know that? Just because you think it? Or did God tell you that's what he was doing?
Right, because me, after going through all that, I hadn't really focused on anything. That's what God gave me a word tonight,
mm-hmm.
about asking him how to honestly feel about things and how to perceive things, because like you said, so many quote-unquote believers would clearly say that there wasn't a God. And God didn't tell him to do that. How do you know that, though? Because how do we know that God did tell him to do that just so we could see how people were going to be concerning it? When it comes down to you, because God, man, when you read scriptures, God has people do a lot of things that folks didn't agree with, or fellow believers, or people that you hung with, or colleagues were. Like, do we really need man's approval for things to be God?
Right.
You know, do we have to get the thumbs up and the likes for it to be okay? You know. And so with that being said, you know, we just have to continue to allow God to be who God is and allow God to run this world through us. And we run it based off of us getting instructions from him and him giving us what he desires to be in the earth. And so I pray that we begin to take off the mask of the world on how we view things.
Yeah.
You know, and stop looking at things the way the world will look at things and reacting to things the way the world reacts to things.
Yes.
And really understanding the sovereignty of God. Let's not put God in a box. God can do whatever. However, with whom ever he so chooses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, we really got a bad habit of qualifying people. Well, we'll qualify some folks. And we'll disqualify people as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll disqualify you too. Oh, you can't because. God ain't said because. You know. And so this is when you're nurturing your relationship and you really come into the knowing of who Christ is and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, that these things don't even bother you. You just continue to do what God tells you to do, how he tells you to get it done, and really not worrying about and focusing on what people are going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Like, honestly, when you think about it, who cares what people say? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Mm-hmm.
So what, somebody unfollowed you because of something you did or didn't do? So what, somebody didn't agree with what you said or how you did it? Oh, well. If you want to talk about it, you know, talk to me. You know? But first, don't come to me if you ain't went to God first.
Right.
That's my point. If we're claiming God to be the head of our lives in any situation, you need to consult with God before your thumb ever gets to typing on anything, before your lips ever open up. Before you begin to think certain things, you better run it through the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's that on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's us being good stewards in our faith.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about being good stewards over money and all of that. That's nothing. But you still got to be a good steward in the faith.
And be a good steward of the people who are in your circle of influence.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they're watching you. It made me physically sick to see people who identify as believers acting just like the world. This was an opportunity to show grace and to show love. And they acted just like the world, tearing this poor man to shreds. And what you're saying right now about before you fire up that thumb or wet your whistle to start speaking words out of your mouth and thinking goes along with today's scripture of the day, which is Psalms 19:14. I'm going to read it out of Amplified. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my firm, immovable rock and redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is not here as a suggestion. So before, because your word, when you type it out, that's your thoughts typed out. So those are still your words.
Mm-hmm.
So did you run it? Is it acceptable and pleasing to God? I don't care if it's acceptable and pleasing to Bob and him.
Mm-mm.
Or your mama or your gossiping cousin. I don't care about that. And like Terrence said, who cares what people say? Because at the end of your life, you're not looking to stand before no human to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You're looking to hear those words from the Lord.
Right.
So let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable, because guess what? Out of the mouth flow the issues of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you saying things and you thumbing it up and typing some stupidity and things that don't line up to the word of God, you got a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
You got a heart problem. It ain't a problem with what that pastor did based on your reaction. Your reaction is a reflection of what's in your heart. And so you need to begin with the Lord and asking for your words and your heart to be pleasing and acceptable to him. Acceptable. Does God accept this?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world, everybody's bandwagoning. It was like watching a bunch of bullies high-fiving and all this. And I'm like, where is the grace? I got more comments and people at me than I had people liking what I said about showing the man some grace.
Mm-hmm.
By so-called believers. It was sad. It, like I said, it made me physically sick. But there was a pastor who's out here in the Dallas area, Jada Edwards. She wrote something on her Instagram that I really, really liked. Now, she didn't address this particular pastor directly. She didn't name him, like I'm not naming him, but I feel like this post was directed towards what she was saying. She says, man, I'm often thankful the earlier years of my life were not lived under the myopically judgmental social media microscope. Thank God that many of my mistakes were only witnessed by who were actually present and are now forgotten or lessened in the fog of time. And with that gratitude comes deep grace for those who are developing and growing in front of strangers who can on a moment's notice be friend or foe. I remind myself that time, not moments, is the real test of character and contribution. Hindsight over highlights. And I thought that was the most classy, graceful. I saw a few other pastors that addressed it without naming him in a very graceful manner. This is the type of response we need to have. Because we live in a society that will, quote, cancel you from one moment in your life. And they will try to take a moment of mistake on display and cancel out the things that they, all the great things that people know about you and all the secret things that God knows about you. They will really try to take a moment and cancel you out. If David would be in today's day, when he got busted impregnating somebody else's whole wife, trying to trick him into impregnating her. That didn't work. And then causing the man's death, he would have been, quote, unquote, canceled. Peter would have been canceled for denying Christ three times. They would have said, he don't, why would we build the church with him when he denied Jesus three? Those were moments. Moments in life. We all have moments that God gives us grace for. God didn't stop you from doing what he's called you to do because you messed up in that moment. When Peter walked away and left and he went back to fishing, Jesus came after him. He came after him. Just like God comes after you when you mess up. But we have the beauty of most of our moments aren't on display. And so for those who moments are on display, we need to have grace and we need to be good examples and good stewards over our faith, like Terrence said. You know, think about when the woman was caught in adultery and those men were trying to tear her to shreds and then Jesus knelt and they say he was writing in the sand. We don't know what Jesus was writing in the sand. I imagine, and this is just my theory, I'm not saying that this is the gospel truth fact. I imagine that he was writing out their sins in the sand. And that's why they burned off. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone and started writing in the dirt. I don't know what he wrote in the dirt. That's just what I imagine he was doing. Writing out their sins.
Mm-hmm.
So So we know better than the next person. We're all made out of sin and dirt. Every last one of us, saved by grace. Saved by what? We're saved by grace. And yet so many people don't want to give the very grace that we're saved by. If it wasn't for grace, we would be destined to an eternal hell, a hell that I know firsthand because I have been there. So when I talk about hell, I can relive it. So I know what grace has done for you. I know what grace has done for me. I know what grace has saved us from. You will never see hell. I've seen it. You will never see it. So sometimes it's hard to identify with something that you can't experience. But I'm telling you, and this is the God's honest truth, it is the most horrible, horrible place and experience that you could ever even, you can't even imagine. You can't imagine how horrible it is. And grace saved us from that. But yet, we don't want to give grace. We want to hoard grace. What if God took that same approach with us? You, let me cancel you and not give you grace. And believe it, saying, I'm going to reserve my prayers. Huh? What kind of rooty-tooty Mr. Potato Head gospel have you been taught where you can withhold prayer when the gospel that I am under says that I'm supposed to love even my enemies and pray for them? And I got to love people like, and love my neighbor like I love myself, and I owe people love. How is it love to withhold prayers? How are you mad at somebody's behavior when the only way to change the behavior is through God, and so the only way to get to is to ask God to help them? So you're mad at what they're doing, but you don't want to help them to not do it no more? Make it make sense. It's the dumbest thing ever. You're mad because of how they are, but you don't want to do your part to help them change and be better and not do it no more. Like, what book is that?
A lot of it is the book of ignorance. a lot of it is the book of disobedience. You know, because we can't pinpoint, you know, exactly what it is. But a lot of times with the Bible, it is clear that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so we know that we're dealing with the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so us as true believers, when we are faced with those particular things, it's at that point that we begin to pray for those. Because we already know what it is. Because the God is not the author of confusion. And so when we as true believers know what the scriptures teach, and we see someone not acting accordingly, we pray for them, you know, and ask God to bring them on in, you know, and deal with them the way that he so chooses. Because like he was saying, everybody just claiming to be a believer ain't no believer. So,
no.
Like, that's neither here nor there, because it really ain't got nothing to do with me, you know, like. It really doesn't. Like, when you show me something, yeah, I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to move forward. But that's it. That's it, you know, coming from me. Mm-hmm. You know, but God has built all of us a little different, and we all deal with things differently. But when it really, because it'll get to the point to where it'll really wear you out. It'll frustrate you. Like, Tanisha physically get sick when she sees certain things and hears certain things. And me, it don't do me like that. But yet still I have to be empathetic to how she deals with things and how I deal with them, you know. And so, but the best practice as far as what I know and what I do is I just pray for everybody, including myself. It could be some things that I need to see. It could be some things that I don't see, you know. So not only am I going to pray for other people, I'm also going to pray for myself as well, because I don't want to be put in a position to where I'm finding myself being angry and being driven by something that really doesn't carry any weight in my life, you know. I'm being driven by some God I don't even want me to be driven by, because I'm allowing that particular thing to be. And so we just thank God for what he's doing. And we just have to be open to know that God uses anybody he so chooses how he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't need our approval.
No.
He doesn't need our approval, because me, I never went on there based on who I am right now. And where I am right now, there would have never been an apology. Period. I would have never apologized for something that I believe God told me to do. That's me. Okay? I let God deal with everybody. It's not my job. It's not my job to convince you. It's not my job to make you see this, that, and other. It's just my job to share love and to do my best to represent Christ during my time here in this earth, you know. And that's where I am, you know. I'm saying what I wouldn't have done, you know. And because that wasn't me, you know, I'm still not discounting what that particular person did, because that's the way that they felt they should have done it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I wouldn't have done it that way. And so because I can't just sit up here and beat him over the head because he didn't do it the way that I wanted it done, you know, or I would have done it because it wasn't me. I ain't do it. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't have done what he did, you know, especially on the back end. And so as believers, we just continue to trust God and just continue to move forward and really focus on this season, what's really important, because we really can get distracted on some nonsense,
mm-hmm.
over some nonsense all the time. Every day it's a distraction. Your phone is the number one distraction nowadays. It keeps you idle. It keeps you focused on other things. Most of the time, we can't even hear from God because we're so engulfed in these devices and getting information. I was having a conversation with me the other week about information. I say information is the number one bestseller.
Yeah.
Period. People want to know. They're going to pay for it. Even if it ain't the truth.
People pay. A lot of these gossip sites now have subscription services. People pay for gossip. Something that
everything is to
stay away. People pay for. That's how hungry people are for garbage. It's crazy. I'm like, people be paying for gossip?
I mean, that's just the way of the world. I mean, that stuff is. It's like the scripture tells us it's nothing new under the sun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's nothing new under the sun, it's just another way that it's being presented,
right?
You know, people been gossiping. The Bible didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a gossiper and you have the spirit of gossip, guess what? You seeking it. It's a lane out there for you to do it. It's just now online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you have more access to things because of the internet.
Yeah.
But ain't nothing new. Nothing new. Nothing new. This world is the same way that God said it is. The same things exist here. So shock factor to me is nothing. I'm not shocked about anything. It's just that when God allows me to see something or witness something that I've never witnessed before, I'm like, there it is. I can identify with something. But my prayer for us moving forward, we're going to jump into praying, moving forward, is that we as believers, true believers, begin to truly mind our business. Mind our business. Mind our business. And while you're minding your business, because you are, your business is the business of God.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, I am about my Father's business. Okay, so be about your father's business. Mind your business. Make his business your business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so in that praying for a deeper relationship, more revelation, praying for strength, praying for guidance, praying for wisdom, praying for a disciplined tongue,
yes.
praying for a stable mind, praying for ears that only claim the truth, praying for eyes that see what God wants to be seen, praying for relationships that are meaningful and nurturing, that you are not only a part of a relationship, but adding value to relationships, whether it be human relationships, personal or business. Be the person that adds value. Be somebody that adds value. Be the one that shows people something different than what they always seen. When you go online, everybody acts the same. Even you can go to churches. You go to different ministries and go to different ministries. Oh, I know what denomination you with.
Yep.
Oh, I know what church you go to. Because you act like what you're around. You begin to act like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my prayer tonight is that we begin to truly act like Christ.
Yeah.
Not religious, but real.
Mm-hmm.
So ask Christ to come in. Renew your mind so that we could be more like him and do it like he did. Because everything Jesus did wasn't written. How he moved and everything wasn't written. And say he ran off to the church and had his mom and them looking for him. And then you ain't hear no more about him. What? Till he was in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So what did he do in all that time? We don't know. It may be God. Everything God does is deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he deliberately left that out so that if you really want to know, you come holler at him. He can show you really how to operate in this earth.
Amen. Oh, I was just when you said mind your business.
Oh, you was minding yours. You was witnessing. Okay, I thought
because the business is our father's business.
Yeah.
So when you do run across things, because you're gonna run across things, right? Nobody's telling you to hide under bushes and you know, go diving under your bed to avoid the world. But when you run across things, pray for people because that's your father's business. Your father is in the business of people. Not just leaving them like, ooh, that's a jacked up person. Now, what am I going to eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
No. If you see a person is jacked up, maybe it's not for you to walk up and have a conversation or try to reason with them because maybe they're not in that mentality. Maybe they can't have a reasonable conversation, but you could always pray. Can't nobody stop you from praying.
Mm-hmm.
Even when these people were battling me online or trying to battle me, you know, I have to tell them, I just pray for you. And one guy said, and you can't stop me. Because he can't. That's the beauty of prayer. Can't nobody stop you from that.
No.
If you tell somebody I pray for you, they say, you can keep that. I won't. Because you can't stop me. You should not be thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch, but you see a person that's, you know, messed up or got a bad mentality or bad attitude, and you just, oh, well, that's a them. That's not your father's business. And you're jaded.
Right.
And something you're so saturated in worldly things that you don't even identify when you can meet a need by praying. We're called to pray and love people despite people. You don't have to like them. There's nowhere that says you got to like nobody. It says you got to love, because love conquers all bad attitudes, false doctrines, thinking you know everything. All that. Love conquers that. Love people enough to pray for them where they're at. And sometimes God will call you to have a conversation or to speak up or say something. And then don't get offended. You know? I called into the show last night, spoke to Randy, and Randy had prophesied this over me about having the heart of the Father, and when God is going to elevate you, how you have to learn to not be offended when people come against you, because people don't come against you. That's just what, that's part of the, part of what, of a call.
Jesus
was considered a heretic. Come on now.
We're going to be crucified for his name's sake.
That's just how, that just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
But the difference is, as you're growing in Christ, and you're taking on more of the heart of the Father, and you're decreasing and he is increasing, you don't see it the same.
No.
You don't take offense to it. You don't even take it personal, because you know why it's happening. And you know the people who are doing it are being used by the enemy. And so you have compassion for them, and you want them to come out of that, not to relieve you of persecution, but because you don't want them to be on the side of wrong. Your whole perspective changes and shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be, as believers, we need to be praying to have the heart of the Father. We should not be blending in with the world, period.
And if you are blending in, we just pray tonight, we declare and decree that we are breaking strongholds.
Yeah.
Strongholds are broken, and that we begin to really take on the mind of Christ, and that the mind of Christ is our mind, and that we begin to see this world through the lens of our Father, and that we begin to hear the cries of his people. Begin to hear them,
mm-hmm.
like he hears them. You know, because a lot of times we hear people and we get offended, but we need to be listening with the ears of God. A lot of times you'll be hearing a baby cry for help. You know, how are you hearing? Because it's so easy for us to sit up here and get offended. It's so easy for us to make everything about us, you know, and make ourselves the important character.
Mm-hmm.
And he has said to me like that. You know, we all have done it. We all still do it. You know, but it's about coming into the knowledge of knowing what's right and what's wrong. And just call, even if you struggle with something. My issue with people is not what they're struggling with. I could care less. You know, because God is the one that can handle that. God can handle that. It's not about what they're struggling with. It's what they're labeling the struggle as.
Right.
Are they trying to justify the struggle?
Hmm. And even promote it.
And promote it. Are you trying to make me believe a lie? Are you trying to call a lie the truth? And the truth a lie? That's where my issue comes in it. And I believe with the heart of God that that's his issue as well. Be honest. Be truthful about it, because the truth is what's going to set us free. A lot of people are not being set free because they are not walking in the truth about their situation. They ain't walking in the truth about it. They ain't coming to agreement with it. They don't see what they do is wrong. And when you're dealing with people that don't see a thing right, you pray for them, move on.
Mm-hmm.
And you allow God to move move in their life the way he so chooses. Just move on.
Yep.
Go on. But you deal with it accordingly. You still have to live your life. You still have to do the things that are necessary to operate. But no. You allow God to deal with it. You know, I ain't saying you gotta have a thief sitting up in your house every day just because you understand. Ain't saying you gotta have a murderer laying up in your house every day just because you understand. No, there's still repercussions, there's still consequences for how people's actions, and there's still certain things. Steps and boundaries that you have to set in your life as well. Order. Still have to put things in order and still love, but set things in order as well. And so, let's just stay focused again. We've been teaching about being focused and loving one another. Oh, and tonight I wanted to pray especially for Mama Ruth. For those of y'all that know my roof, I know my roof is, she's been out ill, and so I would like to pray for her collectively tonight. My wife, go ahead.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just thank you. We're so grateful for your grace,
mm-hmm.
for your love, for your understanding, for you loving us despite us, and for being a help and a teacher and a guide
mm-hmm.
and getting us where we need to be and changing our mentality in our hearts. We're so grateful, Father God, for you. And Lord, we just come touching and agreeing for Mama Ruth, Father God. Touch her body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Touch her mind, Lord Jesus, and help her to be stronger than she's ever been. Than she's ever been. And we just pray that those who are around her, let this whole experience be a testimony to you, Father God, and let it help those around her bring them closer to you, because you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we just thank you for her life, Father God. Thank you for her ministry. We thank you for the heart that she has for you and for your people. And we just ask, Father God, for healing in her.
Healing
through you, Father God. Use the doctors, use the nurses, use the specialists, but let it be by your will, not what their worldly wisdom tells them, but what godly, heavenly wisdom tells them. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
What an amazing show. And this is, you know, we're ministering to ourselves too. We all have room to grow. We all are dealing and struggling. But the difference is knowing where your help comes from. And when you deal and struggle and you acknowledge, you were just saying how you don't have a problem with people's issues. You have a problem with how they view it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Do they see it as a struggle, or do they try to justify it? And with the problem when people try to justify a struggle is if they're justifying it instead of seeing it for what it is, it robs them of the opportunity to have grace. When you know that you're struggling too, it's easier to have grace for the next person because you know you struggle too, that you're not some perfect person. But when you justify it, it changes the way you view things. Your perspective changes. So, yeah, you can thumb your nose down at your neighbor who's struggling and admitting they're struggling because you don't even identify with your struggle.
Right.
You're justifying it. So you're like, oh, my gosh, how can they do that? But you're talking about the speck in their eye,
right?
But you got a plank in your own. Now, how can a person talk about a speck in somebody else's eye with a plank in their own? See, when you think of a plank, is huge
mm-hmm.
compared to a speck. But how are they able to do that? They don't identify the plank.
Mm-hmm.
But they're justifying it as something else. That's not a plank. That's just, you know, eye wood that helps me to see better. You know, people will do that. It just be ridiculous how people justify. Have you ever heard somebody try to justify being wrong, the things that they come up with? The devil is always going to make you look
lies on
top of lies. It'd be a lie Sunday. There's lies with lie ice cream with lie syrup and lie whipped cream and a lie cherry on top. A whole lie Sunday. It just be ridiculous. They eat it up. Tastes like foot sweat and soap.
Mm-hmm.
They still eating it because they'd rather eat that than to admit that they're in the wrong or that they're struggling. But that's how a person is able to do that. They see your little speck, but don't identify their plank because they choose not to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They're blind to their self, but they're purposely blind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You're in trouble. You can't see it. Are you trying to justify it? Oh, you're in trouble. You better get on them knees. Better clap them hands together and keep them together and dust them off. Dust off them prayer hands and get to praying. But that's how they do it. Let's pray for you guys. We've only got, let's see the time, 7:54. So we got about 35 minutes. How many people we got? Oh, we got quite a few of y'all. How you want to do it?
Lord, how you want us to do it?
Yeah.
we just start answering when we get to a certain point. We just follow up.
Sounds like a plan. All right. First caller is 251-342. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, Latrice. This is Latrice from Bama. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will. Hey, Latrice, how are you tonight?
It is well. I want to thank you guys for keeping Apostle in prayer.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Always.
Let's pray.
Yeah, let's pray and see what the Lord has for you tonight.
Can you hear me, Latrice?
Oh, God.
Can you hear me, Latrice?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, good. I was making sure I wasn't too far away. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Latrice tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the depth. God is opening you up to like the deep, going more in depth, the depth of things. Getting to the root of the matter. God is putting you in a place to where you basically only going to focus on the root causes of things. And God is going to show you the root cause of things so that you begin to walk in some major authority. Because when you know how things work, you don't operate like the norm, like others, you know, because you already know what it is. You know what the cause of it is. And not only you know the cause of it, you know how to handle it. And not only will you be able to identify problems, but God is providing you solutions to those problems as he you go more in depth into what God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Going more in depth. And I'm hearing like tune, like being in tune. I know you've heard things out of tune before. Oh my God.
Hmm.
When you hear something out of tune, you're like, you ain't even gotta be a singer or a musician. You know when something out of tune. You know, and then you know when it's in tune, you're like, because when things are in tune, it soothes. It soothes. And it brings about harmony and togetherness. When things are in tune. And God is teaching you how to tune things in your life. Like even when it comes down to people, we got to tune our lives. We have to tune relationships. things got to get in tune so that it can sound good to everyone. Work that we, the noise that we're making down here needs to sound good to heaven. It needs to be in tune. You know, we try to get in touch with so many people. We always talk about we trying to reach people. We just want to reach people. Where you reach people by honestly getting in tune with them. And when you're in tune with God, and you're in tune with his will, that's how we reach people. That's how we reach people, being in tune with the Holy Spirit. And that's what God is taking in depth to the root, to the root of it, so that you can be in tune with the Holy Spirit, so that you can know how to properly address God's people. And get God's people to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else that comes along with it is just part of it. The money, you know, the things, it's just part of it. It's just part of it because God wants, he knows the times that we're living in right now. So he knows what's needed and what's necessary to set us apart. to put us in a position to where people in the world begin to see us and draw interest. We need to be attractive to the world. We need to be drawing people out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we got going on need to be at such a high standard that it just overwhelms people. But they don't. They think they're coming for one thing and end up getting another. And the whole life end up changing.
Oh, God.
And we can't underestimate what God will use either.
Mm-hmm.
What God will use. And so we just thank God that he continues to take you deeper, that he continues to tune your life in everything around you so that the song that your life sings is precious to the ears of heaven, precious to God, precious. That's what I got. That's what I got.
Amen. I see you like leading the way and kind of like John the Baptist, except for you don't meet the same fate. But John the Baptist, he wasn't liked because he told the truth. He was a truth teller, and he called things out. And people during his time, some people did not like that because he told the truth even about, you know, what was going on within the kingdom. And, you know, that's like you telling the truth about somebody in a high position. And so when people are in high position, sometimes they expect people to treat them a certain way or give them preferential treatment because of who they are. And John the Baptist didn't care who you were. He was going to tell the truth regardless. And so because of that, he was persecuted. And, of course, there was the trickery that went on that ended his life. But the scripture that I got, too, was when Jesus heard, this is Matthew 14, 13, says, when Jesus heard about John, he left there privately in a boat and went to a secluded place. But when the crowds heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt profound compassion for them and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, this is an isolated place and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. They replied, we have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And so it's like the Lord, after he found out about what happened with John, when John was beheaded, instead of him, you don't see about him going away and grieving and all this kind of stuff. He performed miracles. He made, it's like he used it to fuel something beautiful to come out of it. And so that's what I'm seeing with you, that you're not going to be beheaded in the natural. But, you might face some persecution because of your, the fact that you tell the truth. And you don't really care about the position, the man-made or man-given position of a person that's telling the truth. Whatever happens as a result of that, God is going to just use it to perform miracles.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to perform the miracles through you.
Thank you, Lord.
They can't do anything to you, per se, except for give you a platform and give you a price to pay for more from God. So you'll be paying a price, but you're buying into something, so to speak, that's a beautiful thing. So it's like God is going to flip everything that they try to do and perform miracles through you.
Thank you.
To where people will be affected in a positive way. Because they're going to try it, but it's not going to work. And then they're going to be mad like, dang, we're trying to take her out. We made her even more famous. We made her even more great. We made her name even more, you know, respectable. So it's going to have a like a backfire type response.
Mm-hmm.
And to where they'll recognize it, where they'll leave you alone because they'll see every time they try to come for you, greater things happen for you. To where they're like, you know what, let me just leave that alone because this is just not working. Because every time we try to tear her down, she gets higher somehow. And we're tying a rope around her ankle and putting a rock on it, and we're trying to weigh her down, and we're trying to drown her under the water, and she keeps rising, and I don't know how, but now because she's rising, people are seeing these miracles. Now they're believing the stuff that she's saying, so they're gonna leave you be. They're gonna leave you be, but you're gonna be so grateful for them because it's like, thank you, because every effort you make elevates me. So I thank you to where you can still smile and be nice. People don't like that. So even the word of God talks about when you're kind to an enemy, it's like putting hot coals on their head. People don't like that. It makes them feel some sort of way. When they know the secret things that they've been doing behind your back and what they've been saying and hear you all pleasant and nice, especially when they know that you know what they've been doing.
Yeah.
It makes them feel some sort of way. They be ready. They like, yeah, I know she know that I was saying this. I know I tried. I know she know that I got in the way of this. I know she know. And then you're like, how you doing? Good morning. God bless you. You know, and it's a pleasant day. And you say, hey, I heard you were sick last Tuesday, and I just want to let you know I'll be praying for you. And if you have any other requests, I'm here at your disposal. And, you know, and they'll be sitting like, it makes them feel some sort of way.
Because
they know that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't figure it out. Because what they want, people know when they're wrong. When they know that you know, they're waiting on a reaction to justify. So if you act all nasty to them, see, that's why I said those things. See, that's why I tried to block her. See, that's because see how she be acting? But when you don't act like that, there's no justification. It strips them of all justification. And it makes them feel triple wrong. Because they already know when they're wrong. When people lie and scheme and scam, I don't care what their motive is, they know it's wrong. Even the word of God says that people's own conscience is going to cry out against them. They know it's wrong. And so when you don't give them no justification, you're going to be putting hot coals on people's heads. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for Latrice, Father God. We thank you for the miracle realm. We thank you that every trick, scheme, scam of the enemy will have a reverse effect.
Yeah.
It will cause greater in her life, greater miracle. It will just unlock. It will just pay for more. From the stores of heaven, it'll because she'll pay the price, and more blessings will be released. The double will be released. The hundredfold will be released. The miracles will be released. So where the enemy will get tired of it, and just let it go, because he's gonna be sick of seeing her being blessed by a chain of events that he started. And we thank you, Father God, for the people having a turnaround when they know that she knows what they're doing. And how she continues to serve you, sometimes through gritted teeth, but still serving you and doing right by them, and that it will cause them to even apologize to her and to admit their wrongdoing. And it will give her an opportunity to say, I appreciate the apology, but you sinned against God. So you could lie on me, and because I'm a child of God, that lie is a weapon and it will not prosper. But when you lie, you sin against God. And so you need to repent to God and you need to turn your life over to him. Allow all the stuff that's happening and will happen, Father God, to bring more souls to the kingdom. And who will be led and by a woman who they made their enemy, and it will be even more powerful because they'll see the power of your love, where a person that they've attacked and come against can love them to the point of bringing them to Christ. That's how they know it's real, because she's a living epistle. She's the example of the gospel in the flesh to show an imperfect human that loves her God enough to love them despite them. They'll say, surely her God is the real God. So we thank you for that, Father God. Protect her, protect those who support her, and let them all see the miracles, and let them all see the protection of you, Father God. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a word. What a word. I do thank you guys. Keep doing what you do. I decree the blessings of the Lord upon you. May he continue to make you rich, add no sorrow to it. In Jesus' name. Amen. What
amen.
A word.
Yeah.
It is well, and it is so.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
So much confirmation.
Wow.
Woo! Just that kind of. Amen. Amen. I shall not continue to hold you, but God is just good.
Yes.
He is good.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, God. Holy. Mm-mm-mm.
Jesus.
He's worthy of all the glory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Okay, y'all better get off the phone now.
Thank you for calling in, Latrice. We love you.
Love you the most. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Good night.
Good night.
That was an awesome word.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Next caller here is 225-454. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, how are you doing? This is Karen from Louisiana.
Hey, Karen.
Hey, Karen, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. How are y'all?
We're doing good.
Ready to get down the next month to make some of the good gumbo and crawfish.
Yes,
you
it is.
You know what I'm saying,
huh?
You know what I'm saying, babe? I'm trying to get down there.
This is Louisiana.
Yeah,
I hear him now. At first, I couldn't hear him. But he sounded like people from New Orleans. That's the way they talk. Mm-hmm. I'm not from New Orleans though, but I'm about an hour from New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
That gumbo had you. You eat some of that gumbo, you shall turn.
You will turn into a Cajun or a Creole when you eat that gumbo. You bet. This is good, my baby.
I'm going to cook me a pot of gumbo. My husband don't eat it, though, so it'll be all for me.
Oh, I know that's right. I would love that. I'm like, you want some? No, thank you.
Right. But I eat everything he has, so I want my food and his. Yep.
Let's pray, Karen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for Karen's night, Father God. We thank you for areas, circumferences. I see like God really calling you to a particular area, like a place, a circle. Of influence, power, to where changes are going to be made, like in a particular area. Like I don't know if God got you like a particular area, you know, weighing heavy in your heart, the way you've been wanting to pray for a particular area or go to it. Or something, but it's definitely something I'm getting about an area, and I saw like circumference, like a circle of people, a circle of influence, or an impactful circle that is making things change, and bringing order. Because we always had that saying, you know, when you talking about making a change, you know, it's one person at a time or one household at a time. And where you are or wherever God is placing you is that's what he's going to have you focus on. And the things that are done in that place and in that area is going to impact the rest of the world. It's going to impact the rest of the world. So don't look at the small things as nothing, because the small things is what matters most. It matters most. You know, we always look at having a lot of money, right? But when you break the USD down, it all starts with a penny. You know, it takes 100 of them pennies to make a dollar. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same. You can't discount the penny, because when you're looking at the millions of dollars, they're all made up of millions of pennies.
Amen.
It's the same value. It just carries a different weight. And so when you look at it, the smaller the value, honestly, the more weight you carry. The more weight you carry. So you are significant. There's nothing that you're doing that's insignificant. You are significant. You're a breathing human being in which God created. God put purpose in you. God has put love in you. God has given you direction. God has given you vision. God has given you gifts and talents. Everything is God-given. And so when it comes down to pleasing someone, please God, because God is the giver. Everything that you have is because of him. So validation from people is nothing, because they ain't give you that. Most things folks give you is a hard time. Because you trying to explain things to them that God ain't showed them.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to you, and it can really be frustrating. Like, man, how you don't see that? But God didn't give it to them. He gave it to you to do, without trying to get other people to understand what he's telling you to do, what he told you to do, and how he told you to do it. So you don't need man's validation behind what God has ordained you to do. God told you to do it, you do it. Just do it. Just do it. And so Your true value, God is definitely going to show you your true value in these days to come, if he hadn't already been dealing with you about it, understanding your role as a kingdom citizen and understanding what it means to be a joint heir to the throne of heaven, a joint heir to the kingdom of God, you know, a joint heir. So you've inherited things that are far beyond this world, greater than this world. Nothing on this world can compare. And so when you begin to see it that way, I don't care what the most valuable thing on this earth is, what value man puts on it, it still can't compare to what God has placed on the inside of you. And who he's called you to be. So we just thank God for that being done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for caring, Father God, for the expansion of her reach with people,
I see you, like, God really using you in like groups, like community groups or just groups of people, and giving you a voice. And sometimes you might be the only voice saying the things that you're saying, but that's how you change. That's how you change people. That's how you change areas. That's how you make change. Somebody has to not be saying the same thing as everybody else, because mm-hmm. people will feed off of people. It's kind of like mob mentality. Yes. You know, they feed off of each other's words and feed off of each other's energy and what everybody's intentions, everybody's feed. But if that one person says, maybe we shouldn't, you know, or maybe that's not a good idea, or we should show kindness, or we should this, that, and the other, you know, now initially they might get mad, but if they're reasonable people, they'll have to think about what you're saying, and they may not agree right away, but it'll come back to where they'll circle back to it. All you have to do is remain consistent. But that's what I see. I really see God using you and expanding your reach with people and placing you in groups of people that, so that you could be the change. You will be the change. You will start the change. And sometimes that's difficult. You know, when, you know, we hear all the time people ask for prayer because maybe they were moved to a job or they're put in a new neighborhood and they're like, these people aren't like me and I don't want to be around these people. But it's like, those people need you because nobody is like you. So that means that they don't have nobody like you. If they don't have nobody like you, then they're just, you know, you got the dumb leading the stupid. They need somebody who got wisdom to lead them, you know. But when we're in it, when we're not in it, we're like, God, use me. And then God places you in. You're like, take me out of here. What's going on? Jesus didn't die on the cross for this. You know, we don't want to be there. But he's like, but didn't you say to use you? This is how I'm using you. You know, people fail to finish that prayer. Use me in a pleasant situation. They just say, use me. And then what God does, they're knocking at his door. Hello? Yeah, this is not what I had in mind. And he's like, but this is where I need you. I need you here. These people need your help. They need your light. They need your wisdom. They need your kindness. They need your love. They need you. But a lot of times we don't look at it like that. We're like, get me up out of here. You know, I see most of the jobs that I had, God was really just using me. It wasn't about the job. It was about them needing somebody like me that wasn't afraid to stand up for the truth, that would love them, that would give them wisdom, that would allow them to vent, and, you know, they would be open and honest. A lot of the times they'd be like, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. And I'd be like, I know why. You know, God was leading them. But they needed that because they, you know, some of them had nobody that they can get sound or unbiased advice from. Or, you know, they were getting advice, but it didn't have any God in it. And so I can see now in hindsight that God was planting me places. And yeah, I have some moments of frustration. I have some Moses moments. But I'll have to get myself together and say, okay, God, I see beyond, you know, the job that I'm doing your work. It's not about the company. It's about your work. And, you know, just use me accordingly for these people. And that's what I see with you. God's going to put you in groups where the people will really need you. And so don't be surprised if you're like, you know, with a bunch of heathens, you're like, what in the world? You know, but they need you. They need you. They need somebody like you. They need your love. They need your wisdom. They need your, you know, you sharing about your life and how what God has done for you. And they need your, you know, give them parables. You know, talk to them in parables. Like, man, what is something, something? You know, Jesus, he talked in parables. That's how people learn. You know, look at when David was in sin and the prophet came to him like, a man had all these sheep and this one had one. And then the guy with the lots of sheep, he took the man one. David was outraged. What? And then the prophet had to tell him, that's you. He didn't even see it until the prophet told him a story. So God will even use you to reach people by telling them stories and parables and all these different things to whatever it's going to take to reach them. And then you can flip it on them like, oh, yeah, that's you. It's no different than what you're doing. You know, you're trying to make something fit that don't fit. I had to give somebody a story like that the other day. They're telling me about their relationship. And it was, I just couldn't see how they didn't see what it wasn't a good fit. And I told them, I said, it's like putting a square into a circle hole. And if you get that square to fit into the circle hole, it's going to be left damaged. I said, that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make some fit that ain't designed to fit. But if you do get it to fit, you're going to get damaged. You're the square. And then they saw it. So God will use you.
Yeah,
you've been
my prayer lately. Like, God,
what you'd be like, where'd this come from? But it's from the pits of hell. They don't have a God in them. So you got to reach them a different way. You can't give them a scripture or chapter and verse. That means absolutely. You'll teach them. And God is going to use you. Or he's going to teach you how to reach them, how to reach people who have no God.
Amen.
The Bible is not an authoritative figure to them. That doesn't mean nothing to them. You can, you know, Miles Monroe is a great teacher because he was able to preach the gospel without putting a scripture and verse to it. He was talking about a great man. There was a great man who said there's nothing new under the sun and teach and blah, blah, blah. And he said afterwards, people would be like, oh, man, who was this great man? Solomon. Well, where can I read more about this Solomon? Ooh, now I got you. Now I got you. Because some people will dismiss it just because you say it's a scripture or dismiss it just because you say it's the Bible. But once you give it to them and they apply it or they identify with it, now they can't dismiss it. Now I can tell you what it is. Now I can say what it is. I had to do that with my kids when they were younger with turkey meat. They didn't want to eat turkey meat. They wanted hamburger meat. I started making everything turkey meat. Oh, this is so delicious. Oh, now I got you. It's turkey meat. Now you can't deny turkey meat is delicious and tasty because you just said it was. What? It's turkey meat? Sometimes that's what you got to do with people with the word of God. You got to give them that wisdom, give them that word. And then they say, oh, man, that really worked. What was that? That was 1 Corinthians, blah, blah, blah. Now what? You can't deny it because it worked. And so God's going to give you little things to give people the word, let them eat it, taste it, and say, oh, this is delicious. What is this? It's the word. You can taste and see that the Lord is good now, can't you? What they going to do, spit it out, and then already digested it. And that's how you get them. And then they'll want more. And you'll be able to lead people, total heathens, lead them to Christ without shoving a Bible down their throat or pointing out sins and all that. You're going to do it in a way to where they can't deny it. So, Lord, we just thank you for that protector, giver of the words, the wisdom, Father God, the knowledge of how to reach people. And how to lead them ultimately to you. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Good. You got anything you want to share?
Y'all pretty much hit on everything that I probably have been praying to God about. Because right now, like, I'm in a season where it's like, what to do next, God? Like, you know, I've done some things and you led me here, but what to do next? Like, I think also because of COVID, life has gotten quieter. Mm. And it's like, okay, so now I feel a little bit more isolated. So it's like, also, God, when is my time to come before people? And also trying to, you know, run a business and trying to find your angle on how to get your message delivered without being stolen people's faith right now, because like, you can't really like go out too much and do no events or anything. So it's like, I feel like I'm kind of finding my way in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And at times I even feel a little lost, especially over the last couple of days. I'm like, God, you gotta show me what to do, encourage the spirit, because I want to be useful, you know, not just in my household, but for the kingdom. Like, what do I need to be doing? So, it felt good to hear that, because I do believe God had something greater for me to do, and that God's plan to, you know, have me do his work and make an impact, because that the person you were describing is me. You know, I might be the one person in the group have a totally different thoughts and opinions from other people, and God has given me a way to deliver message and deliver lessons to people and motivate people in such a way that I never really understood. It's like it's just a natural gift that he's given me, even at a young age. So it's like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I'm in careers, and I question myself, is this what I should be doing? Or should I be doing something more closely to my gift? Because, you know, realistically, you have to make a living, right? Mm-hmm. So I kind of been questioning myself, you know, within those guidelines. Okay, so how do I make a living? How do I do God's work? Like, you know, and sometimes I just feel like I don't know any people. So it's like, okay, yeah, I need to come around and start communicating with people a little bit more. You know, this COVID got it thrown off, and I'm already introverted, so I feel even more on the outside.
We pray God gives you clarity on directions on what you should do for income, and that that wherever you are in whatever situation, that you have peace about it. Because a lot of times, because like Tanisha was mentioned earlier, you know, God's business is people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we look at it as even when we're on our job that we're just there to make a check. But a lot of times there are people there that God has assigned to us for a particular season. You know, because, you know, God is our source. He's the ultimate provider. He can do whatever he so chooses to do with our finances, you know. Mm-hmm. So we believe that God for clarity and direction, clarity and direction and peace, right where you are, because where you are is setting you up for the next move. For the next move. And so we just thank God for that in Jesus' name. One thing about it, finances are not going to be a problem. I'm going to declare and decree that in your life. That finances will never be an issue.
Yeah.
Period. So it'll never be about the money. It'll always be about the mission.
Yes.
It's all about the mission. Never about the money. It's going to be about the mission. Because all this income, the way that we used to make it, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because this new currency is really picking up some major momentum, and God
is
going to position his people to get it as well. And the ones that miss out is just strictly going to be because they didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it, you know. That's why we got to ask God to help our unbelief.
Amen.
Help me even in my unbelief. I may not get it right now, Lord, but help me. Help me. And so, but God is definitely positioning all of us to be financially dominant. We're going to dominate financially for the kingdom.
Praise God.
But make sure that it's mission over money. Mission over money all day, every day. I'm focusing on my mission.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on my mission. Yeah, but thank you for calling.
Praise God. Thank y'all for,
I said it was good talking, but you got something you want to pray for or something else?
That was it. Just, you know, praying for direction. Well, one other thing, I've been praying for my oldest brother as well. He has some legal battles going on, so he's been in and out of court and all of this good stuff, long waits and COVID and holding up things. So just praying that God would keep him and deliver him and restore him. And that's about it.
What's your brother's name?
Kenneth.
All right, Lord, we just come before you, bringing Kenneth, Father God, before your throne, Lord. Just keep him during this and help him to navigate through this legal system, Father God. We know it is a system that says it's for justice, but it's a very corrupt system, and it can weigh a person down. But help Kenneth to navigate through it, Father God. Send him godly counsel. Send him people who will help him, not just with worldly wisdom, but with godly wisdom. And give him, show him grace, Father God, grace and mercy. And we just pray that the corruption in his, if there's any corruption that be in his case, that it will be exposed. If there be any judges who are biased, that they will be taken off the bench. If there be any attorneys who are unethical, that they will be found out and put before the bar. That this year, Father God, we're not playing with this legal system. We're not tap dancing to its tune. We're going to bring about change and let the things that Kenneth experienced put attention, the spotlight, so that the body of Christ could pray and dismantle the things that are corrupt and that are not of you. And if they're going to use the term of justice, if they're going to say that it's a justice system, let it be so. And those that are not practicing justice, let them be removed. And give Kenneth the strength to endure. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, guys. Thank you. God bless you both. I appreciate
thank
everything.
You. God bless you. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, that's what I was going to do, see? That was number God. So, because we've run out of time. So, yeah, we're going to do a collective prayer over everybody before we jump off of here and let Randy have time to get on. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for having ears to receive your words and having open hearts. And Father God, just pray that as collectively as the body of Christ, that we come back to holiness, that we stop looking like the world and acting like the world, but bring us into the reverential fear of you, Father God. We need wisdom in these times. And your word says that the prerequisite of wisdom is the reverential fear. So bring us back to the reverential fear of God and bring us into holiness, Father God. Give us love and grace, Lord. And just touch the people. Touch your people, Father God, and break the chains off their minds that's stopping them from believing the impossible. Because the impossible, you've got it ready to pour out. And those who miss out are those who don't believe. And we want everybody to experience everything that you have, the life and life abundantly that you died to give them. Heal their bodies, Father God. Help us to develop good eating habits. Give us holy wisdom on how to take care of our bodies, because we need to have a body to be around to do your work. So help us collectively as the body of Christ make it our mission to be fit and healthy and to work out and to eat right and drink our water and do the things that we need to do and have balance. It's okay to eat chips and pizza, but we need to have balance in that. We can't eat it all the time. We got to take our health serious so that we can do the work. And help us to show love, Father God, not only to others, but help us to love ourselves and to do good to ourselves. Let it all be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Be sure to call back at 8:45, hit 1, get into the queue. Randy typically does a message and prays over everybody on Wednesdays. As always, we love you. We're praying for you. And until next time. Good night.
Good night.